the Indiana School of the Sky Science Series. Great Days in Science, the story of man's mastery of his own mind. Welcome to Great Days in Science, the Indiana School of the Sky Science Series, broadcast each week at this time, classrooms and home listeners everywhere by Indiana University, with the cooperation of the Indiana State Department of Education and this radio station.
Today, we take you back more than 300 years to the time of Galileo Galilei, one of the greatest scientists the world has ever known. Truth at times comes easily. It is the acceptance of truth which quite often comes hard. If this were ever true, most certainly it was true in the time of Galileo. Galileo's humble experiment at the Leaning Tower of Pisa is history to us now. In a matter of a few seconds, this boyish professor of mathematics upset nearly 20 centuries of scientific guesswork founded by Aristotle of ancient Greece. We take our microphone back into time.
The year is 1590. The place, Pisa, in Italy.
The sun has lifted high into the bright blue Tuscany sky, and here at the base of the famous Leaning Tower is a large group of university professors, students, and townspeople who arrived here less than an hour ago. They are murmuring excitedly among themselves, for at this moment, inside the tower, the young professor, Galileo Galilei, is climbing the steps to the top. He carries with him a 10-pound shot and a 1-pound shot. In just a few minutes, he's going to release these two different weights from the top of the tower. As you know, Professor Galileo says that the two different weights, when released at the same time from the same height, will fall to the earth with identical rates of speed, striking the earth at the same time.
There he is! There's the young man now, at the top!
Pardon me, may I get through here, please? Just a second, please. Thank you. Yes, there's Galileo. He just stepped out to the edge of the tower. He's now balancing the two pieces of shot on the ledge before him. In just a moment, we're going to know whether this young man is right, or whether the teaching of the great Greek philosopher Aristotle, who said that different weights fall at different speeds, is true.
Come on, Galileo! Come on! Why not show us you can fly like a bird?
Now the crowd is laughing, shouting insults at the young professor. But wait, wait. Galileo raises his hand.
Careful! Careful below, my friend!
The crowd stills. Galileo leans forward. He shoves the shot, and here they come! Well, it's true. What Galileo said is true. The two pieces of shot, one 10-pound, the other one, struck the earth at the same time. But can it be that Galileo is right, the great Aristotle wrong?
Yes, Galileo had proved his point before the doubtful eyes of the people of Pisa. But Galileo's fellow professors who witnessed the experiment at the Leaning Tower, were they impressed?
I don't know.
And the students? The townspeople?
I disagree. Yes.
Verily, the two pieces of shot have descended to the earth simultaneously.
Yeah, true. Yes.
Could it not be some magic that this Galileo was practicing?
This
morning?
Is magic, yes, senor, yes. Or something similar.
There must be a passage somewhere in Aristotle explaining this.
And why this boy, this Galileo even says that a feather and a cannonball will fall at the same rate of speed, providing the air currents be removed. Ridiculous!
Oh, it's nonsense! Utter nonsense!
A friend of mine is a student in one of his classes. He tells me this man dispenses entirely with Aristotle and his laboratory.
Yes, filled with
contraptions of all sorts, lumps of lead, pieces of string, and circles.
So I heard. It's dangerous to the faculty to keep such a man.
No. The professors and the students, the curious townspeople, they were not impressed by Galileo's experiment. Though they had seen with their eyes the university professors retire to their garrets, thumb through their musty notes, seeking some explanation. Galileo Galilei was always experimenting. Even when a child, everything he saw he brought to question before his own mind.
My son Galileo, let me tell you, I, his father Vincenzo, I call him the absent-minded little stargazer. I swear he sees strange visions and hears strange sounds. What a son for a man such as I, a music master to rear.
And what a task it is to teach this child. Why, today in class, while I was explaining the importance of the Latin preposition, young Galileo's mind was far away. Twice I had to rap his knuckles.
Then when he returns from those walks he takes, he sets himself to building miniatures of the things he's seen. Galileo? Galileo, come
here. Yes, sir. Yes, Father. What is it you wish, sir?
Galileo, I have decided. You must have an education. The finest possible.
Yes, my father.
I have arranged for you to enter the monastery school at Vallombrosa. There, if you study hard, you will learn many things.
Oh, I shall study most hard, Father.
And then, when you leave the monastery, you shall be ready for business.
Business? But, Father, I'd hope to study for scientific work.
And take my advice, son. Stay distant from scientific work. I know. I tried it once myself. You would starve.
It is what I want.
Eh? Very well, then. You shall attend the university here in Pisa. What branch of science do you seek?
Mathematics, sir.
Mathematics? No, not mathematics. If it's scientific work you're after, it shall be medicine. You'll starve as a scientist, but you will starve less as a doctor than as a mathematician.
So Galileo entered the University of Pisa. He studied the medical textbooks of Hippocrates and Galen. But beneath these books he concealed the texts of Euclid and Archimedes. Some years later, his father said,
Son, I've received a letter from one of your professors. He says that not only do you study Euclid when you should be studying Hippocrates, but that you argue with your instructors. Now, what's the trouble? You're a man now.
I seek only the truth, Father.
Well, the truth? It's good to seek the truth always. But you must mind your professors and stop meddling with what is not known.
But Galileo ignored his father's warning, for by now, Galileo had made a discovery.
The science of mathematics is... is the language of nature.
When Galileo left the university, he left without his doctor's diploma, and his professors termed him a failure in medicine. He tried to get pupils, but got none. But the chair of mathematics at the University of Pisa had become vacant, and Galileo managed to get the position, largely because no one else wanted it. Soon Galileo was entangled in trouble.
Aristotle says a 5-pound weight and a 50-pound weight will fall at different speeds. I say Aristotle is wrong.
The troubles of Galileo were only beginning to build. They reached their peak when...
Professor Galileo, here is the model of a dredging machine invented by Prince Don Giovanni de' Medici.
Yes, I have examined it and find it extremely ingenious. And there is but one difficulty. It won't work.
That, as you can well imagine, was too much for de' Medici.
Well, I demand that Professor Galileo be removed from the faculty of the university on grounds of insubordination and incompetence.
So Galileo found himself without a job. Fortunately, he had his friends. And so it was on the 17th of December, 1592, now 28 years old, that Galileo gave his first lecture at the University of Padua in the Venetian Republic, at the almost fabulous salary of $200 a year. In the year 1609, Galileo made one of his most important discoveries.
Word has come to me in a letter of the invention of one Hans Lippershey of Holland. He has made a contrivance from two glass lenses, which enlarges distant objects.
Within a day after he received the letter, Galileo had made his own telescope, a flimsy affair. And then he turned this magic magnifying glass, as he called it, towards the skies.
The moon. Why, it is not like Aristotle claimed, pure, smooth, and crystalline. But it appears very much like the earth, with mountains and valleys and plains, and perhaps even seas and rivers.
Wherever Galileo turned his telescope, he made discoveries. Then, on a cold, crisp night in January, 1610, Galileo made his most sensational astronomical observation.
Circling around the planet Jupiter, there appear to be four small planets.
The news of this discovery spread rapidly, exciting the greatest interest and astonishment. Many refused to believe it. One of Galileo's fellow professors explained it this way.
There are seven windows in the head, two nostrils, two eyes, two ears, and the mouth. There are seven metals, and so forth, from which we gather there is necessarily seven planets. Moreover, the satellites are invisible to the naked eye, and therefore has no influence on the earth, and therefore would be useless, and therefore do not exist.
But despite opposition, Galileo continued his experiments, continued making discoveries. Aristotle had said that the sun was pure fire. Galileo's telescope showed the sun covered with spots. Galileo's telescope pointed at Venus proved this.
that the theory of Copernicus, that the earth revolves about the sun, was true. But while he made his discoveries and wrote books about his findings, Galileo hungered for his home province, Tuscany. And finally, after he petitioned again and again, Galileo was appointed mathematician to the court of Cosimo II in Florence. He at once broke his contract with the University of Padua and eagerly made his way to Florence, and to the great tragedy of his life. The province of Tuscany, in which Florence was located, was a papal state, ruled by the church, and Galileo's discoveries were regarded as opposed to the church. Then, too, Galileo had declared himself a follower of Copernicus, a man whom the church considered a heretic. It wasn't long until he was summoned to appear before the Inquisition, a court set up by the church to judge men accused of practicing policies contrary to the church.
Galileo, you are to abandon your heretical opinions about the earth and the sun and the stars. You are not to think such thoughts, nor to teach them, nor to defend them, either orally or in writing, under the threat of persecution. Do you so promise?
I promise. I promise to obey.
But Galileo was a scientist, and although disheartened and ashamed, he continued with his experiments in the quiet of his laboratory. But he was unable to stifle his thoughts, and he published another book on astronomy. Once again, he was summoned to appear before the Inquisition. The year was 1633. Galileo went to Rome in January, and when he arrived, he was more dead than alive, and in no way fit to defend himself. The Inquisition made its decision.
Galileo, you are to renounce, under oath, your belief in the movement of the earth.
Before the holy sainted gospel, which I touch with my hands, I swear that I reject and detest my former heresies. I confess that my error has been one of vain ambition and pure ignorance. I now declare and swear that the earth does not move around the sun.
Galileo's books were prohibited, and Galileo was condemned to prison. And though he had received strict orders to stop his scientific experiments, Galileo wrote another book, in secret, The Laws of Motion, which he had smuggled out for publication in Holland. He never saw a printed copy of the book, for the man who performed the crucial test died. And this work, along with the others, passed on to those scientists of a newer age. As Alfred Noyes has said,
in the year of Galileo's death, Newton, the mightiest of the sons of light, was born to lift the splendor of this torch and carry it. As I heard that Brahe said long since to Kepler, carry it out of sight. Into the great new age I must not know. Into the great new realm I must not tread.
You have just heard Galileo Passes a Crucial Test, another broadcast of the Indiana School of the Sky Science Series. The program was written by Fred Brewer and was based on materials prepared by authorities at Indiana University. Heard in the cast were Joe Verpalot, John Taylor, Julius Miller, Bob Messi, John Bleasdale, Joe Keenan, Russ Tornabin, Francis Kirsch, Garrett Cope, and Richard Morgan. Sound and music by Jack Mickey. The program was directed by Fred L. Gerber. Next week, a program called Science Finds Protection. This series is produced by the Radio Department of Indiana University and reaches you through the cooperation of the State Department of Education and this radio station.